You know what that means? It means time once again to clear up some problems that you might be having with your car, your truck, your van. Denny Long here with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
Well, our weather's still kind of hanging on for those that maybe didn't get their snow tires on yet or didn't get their vehicle winterized yet. My goodness, going to be a nice weekend this weekend here, at least in the Twin Cities. I want to give our phone number, which is also our text number, and to invite our listeners, Nick, to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a problem you might have, and if you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you want to find out maybe what could be ailing before you walk in that door, before that service rider says, yeah, we'll check it out. Give us a call, send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Nick, in the meantime, while we're waiting for some calls or texts, we got a text. It might have been a couple of weeks ago. It was recently anyway, and I think it was a good question, and we were going to field it on future shows, and that the question is, how do I find, texter says, a good shop to bring my car? I think that's a good question, especially if you're either new to the area, maybe new driver. What would you suggest? I mean, besides coming to Lloyd's, I know you go to Lloyd's, what would you suggest?
Well, you don't have to come to Lloyd's. There is absolutely a shop, whether it's a particular dealership or independent shop, a franchise that's close to your home that is more than capable to get your car back on the road. I would say, you know, word of mouth, right? I mean, you know, with Lloyd's, obviously we do some marketing as everyone needs to, but I feel our best marketing is taking care of people. And when you take care of people and their vehicles, they'll share with their friends and family the experience that they had. So if you're new to a neighborhood or a community, you know, just to start asking around, you know, whether you have children or in a school or in some sort of a church or something, you know, just to get to know your neighbors and your colleagues and see where they're going. And, you know, you can look online, you know, obviously everything's online and there's plenty of reviews to read. I mean, even, you know, as far as reviews go, you know, most are good, some are bad. And just this past week with Lloyd's, we had one that wasn't the best review we've had. And that's okay because people don't always have the best experience. Our response is reach out to those folks, try to understand what happened, help them. Understand our process, procedures, whatever it may be. And so in the future, whether or not they continue to be a customer, we've done our part to make sure they understand how we work. And I think if you approach it that way, your business will continue to grow. So ask your neighbors, ask your friends, colleagues, and I think you'll find a good place to get your car fixed.
Yeah, and again, it always goes back to, you know, word of mouth is still the best. But if you're new to the area, but you're right. You go online. You can check out. You could type in, for example, Lloyd's and reviews of Lloyd's Automotive or whatever the company is, whatever the product or service is. Now, you don't necessarily – some of these reviews are not necessarily true, right? I mean, some of them are not so truthful.
I take them – to be honest, kind of personally, you know, when somebody leaves a bad review, I want to understand what did we do wrong? And I take it to heart. And, you know, like you said, sometimes we have to scour our database to try to find the folks or find the particular situation that, you know, if it's true or not. And, you know, there's some people that are just having a bad day and might leave a review, whether it's true or not. And some people have a very good reason or to leave a review. And my approach, to be honest, has always been like, you know, deal with it, you know, approach the folks or call them or come in and say, hey, I had my car in or whatever it is and had a poor experience. And then here's my feedback. And like I said, I take this stuff personally and I want to make sure we resolve the problem. Maybe we can't work together and that's okay too, but I want to make sure we're doing the best that we can.
Yeah, very good. Good answer. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. And the phone number, as I said, is the same as the text number, 651-461-9226. But don't wait. Nick takes his leave here in just about 30 minutes. I know our time is rather compressed here. So call or text your question as soon as you think of it. We'd be glad to help you out. Speaking of new drivers, here's a text that came in earlier this morning, Nick. How do I winterize my car? Which I think is very timely.
Yeah, it looks like the weather's going to change next week, so it is very timely. You know, like you and I have always talked about the owner's manual. There's a scheduled maintenance, which is a good rule of thumb to follow. You take your vehicle into any shop at this time of the year, and they're going to have a bit of a package that makes sure, like the tires, the battery, the coolant, all the extra touch points are looked at. So as the consumer or the driver, you don't have to worry too much about that, but you go in for a service and say, hey, I'm a new driver. This is a new vehicle. I want to make sure I'm going to be good this winter. And then you leave the pros take care of the rest. They'll be able to kind of go through that checklist and make sure your vehicle is the best that it can be for whatever's coming ahead.
Yeah, now there'll be many folks on the road, hitting the road, and I'm looking at the forecast around these parts, and it looks pretty clear. I don't see any particular. Some moisture, small chance of rain, maybe Tuesday, that earlier ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. But it looks pretty good for sailing. So, but still, you should at least, it's probably a little late to get your oil changed, you know, the day before Thanksgiving. But maintenance is still the key. Even the minor stuff will get you through. I'm looking at the text. We got a bunch of folks calling in, texting in. We're going to take a break here, Nick. Let's do this. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you might have for Nick, let's hear from you. We'll be right back. 34 degrees in the Twin Cities. Stay with us. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Danny Long back with CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a car care question you might have for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have some callers. I want to get to those right away. But for those that maybe need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, give us the info. How do we contact you guys there?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, need some advice, please don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, swing by and say hi, and always check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Some of the nicest people you're ever going to find, and we'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Nick, let's get some callers here on the line. Todd is first up here, calling from Ramsey, I do believe. Todd, good morning. You are on with Nick.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Two questions concerning vehicle gas mileage. I have a Toyota Highlander that has about 95,000 miles on it. It's a six-cylinder, and I'm a guy that likes to check my gas mileage on a regular basis. In fact, the software in the vehicles these days is really helpful with that. But it seems like the gas mileage is getting better, and I don't think my driving style has changed at all. It appears that I'm getting about a mile or two more per gallon the more miles I have on this car. And the second quick question is, why does gas mileage decrease a bit in the wintertime?
Well, the second part is easy. They change the amount of alcohol or ethanol in the fuel in the winter months to kind of, first off, it helps with the moisture. So you know, we used to add heat, if you're old enough to remember that, to our fuel tank in the winter months, and now they changed the fuel mixture with a little more alcohol, which burns a little bit quicker, so it decreases the mileage a little bit. Also, keep in mind, in the winter months, we tend to start our cars, let them warm up for a while, and that will obviously use more fuel. As far as the first question goes, I don't have a sure answer why your mileage is getting better. It could be the type of fuel that you're using at the gas station. You know, I don't have any scientific proof to this, but sometimes a vehicle might run better with a certain brand. Also, maybe it's just like maybe the car was tuned up, maybe tire pressures. You know, there's not a sure answer why, you get this 80,000 miles by the car to be better miles. I don't have a great explanation for that.
Yeah, but but we'll accept that. We'll take it.
And it helps. Hope it keeps going, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Todd. Interesting questions. Let's grab another call here. Nelson's calling in from Bethel, I do believe, this morning. Nelson, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I've got a 08 Impala. It's got 270,000 miles on it. When I started up in the morning, now the power strain pump whines and growls. It's full of fluid. I was wondering if the serpentine belt getting worn, or is it oil need to be replaced, or what's your thoughts?
I think your second option would be the best. Changing out that fluid, power steering fluid is one of those items that maybe gets forgotten the most. And that will collect dirt, debris. A lot of times there may be a screen at the base of that reservoir that kind of it screens out the fluid. So it might be catching some of that debris, which will restrict the amount of fluid getting through to the pump. So I think, you know, oftentimes people will come and complain about the power steering's whining or howling or making some sort of noise. It could be the pump is wearing out. That's a possibility. But I think my first step would be to change out that fluid, clean out that reservoir, and give it some time to work that fluid through and see if it doesn't get better.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Nelson. Appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm looking at a text, Nick, about maybe you can help me with this. Should you trust oil change percentage? Texter says, I have a Cadillac with a 3.6. I've heard this is notorious for timing going out due to not changing the oil more consistently. So for those cars that do use a percentage, that's what they're talking about, what you see on the dash, right?
Yeah, it's a good guide. The rest of what the texter said is absolutely true. We seem to be doing a lot more timing chain type repair or work. And part of the reasoning is those extended oil change intervals, or people maybe not keeping on top of the oil changes, allows for the oil to break down. The oil lubricates. It also cools some of those components. So if they're not being properly maintained, those timing components will wear. The chain can stretch, which will make the vehicle get out of timing, which will cause an issue with the operation of the vehicle. So as far as the percentage goes, I think it's a good guide. There isn't always a rhyme or reason to it. You know, if you're getting oil change on a regular basis, they should reset that so it won't come into play. If you're following that as your sole reminder, my opinion is it might go too long. And I like to say on a good synthetic oil, I would go every 5,000 miles. If your vehicle still uses a conventional oil, 3,000-mile interval I think is appropriate. And like I said, you got to keep on top of those oil changes to prevent any big mechanical timing type failure.
Yeah, very good. But we're getting more questions, more texts, more calls. I tell you, speaking of calls, let's before we look at the weather, Kelly calling in from West St. Paul this morning. Kelly, good morning. Thanks for calling. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a comment about someone who just called in about reduced fuel mileage in the wintertime. The ethanol content of gasoline does not change in the wintertime. It stays at 10% all 12 months of the year. The reason fuel mileage decreases in the wintertime is three things. The first is the petroleum industry makes the gasoline more volatile for easier starting in cold weather. Therefore, it has less energy, therefore lower fuel mileage. The second thing is, when it's colder, the lubricants and other things in the car create more drag, so it takes more power to move the vehicle, even on dry roads. And the third thing is, in cold weather, at cold startup, it stays in open loop a little bit longer where it's running very rich, so it uses a lot more fuel. And if people are concerned about fuel consumption and the environment, don't start your car and let it run to warm up. Modern cars, you just start it, let it run a few seconds, and take off slowly and let it warm up quicker, and everything will be better, including your fuel consumption.
Getting 33 degrees. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, once again with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got a bunch of text messages. Let's see how many we can answer here. In fact, what I'll do, if we don't get to all of them, I'll save some until next Saturday's show. Here's an interesting one. I think, to me it is, anyway, because I change wiper blades on my vehicles, you know, relatively often, maybe not often enough. But this particular text said, I stopped at my Toyota dealer parts department yesterday to purchase wiper blade refills for my Camry. He or she said, I was surprised that they sell only the entire wiper blade. Do you know where I can find Toyota brand wiper blade refills? Do they sell just refills? I'm not aware of that.
They still do on certain, it's becoming fewer and fewer super models. I know Toyota does offer on, like, some of the, you know, if your vehicle gets to be aged a bit. It's based on the design of the wiper. Some are designed where you can actually remove that rubber blade, and sometimes there's a little piece of metal that holds it in place. You can oftentimes, or used to be able to buy those, slide out the old, slide in the new. But now, as wipers have changed, and a lot more like a beam blade, which is like one composite piece, there is nothing to be replaced other than the entire blade itself. So it used to be able to do it. It's less and less common. I do believe that the newer blades, especially in our climate, are better because when it's one solid piece, there's no nooks and crannies for that ice and snow to build up, which we all know if your wipers are full of ice and snow, only a part of your windshield gets cleared. And then when you're trying to drive down the road, you're trying to move your head around a little bit to see out the windshield.
And we always advise people, and I should practice what I preach, you know, if your car's outside and it's full of frost or ice, don't use your windshield wipers blades to clean it, right?
100%. You know, when you get a bit of snow and it builds up, if you're using the wipers to clear the windshield, that link into the mechanism that's doing that isn't designed to clear the windshield. It's designed to, you know, keep it clean. So meaning when it's raining or snowing, that on the surface, it's squeegeeing your windshield. If there's a buildup of snow or ice there and you're trying to clear that with the wipers, it's very hard on that. And, you know, every year when we get the first big snowfall, people will come in that day or the following day with the concern that, hey, my wipers aren't working or they're out of sequence or one's not moving. That's because that mechanism's been damaged from all that extra load.
Absolutely. Texter says this, Nick, a 2012 Passat question. Power door lock, driver's side problem. Front door will lock with a key fob, but will not unlock most of the time. Also, the rear door lock keeps clicking, trying to lock the door after driving a few miles. Put new battery in the fob. Have to unlock manually with the key. Comments, please.
So the problem's not likely with the fob itself. It's within the door. There is a little actuator, a little motor inside each door that locks and unlocks that particular door. If you're hearing that multiple clicking, it's because it's searching or trying to disengage or engage that lock, and it's struggling to do that, so you hear that pulsating noise. I would tell this texter, it's good that you have the key and you're operating that cylinder, but at some point you don't want to run the risk of the doors not unlocking or locking at all. So I would take that in, have someone assess it. You know, maybe it needs both actuators, but I would at least have it looked at before you just keep going down this road, because at some point you might be stuck.
Okay. Enter has a 2015 Equinox with just over 59,000 miles on it. It runs fine, but would it be more beneficial to change the plugs on it at this point instead of waiting until 100,000 or whatever recommendation is?
So my opinion would be when they make those intervals, they're assuming some stuff like you're going to drive X number of miles or within a range of miles on the course of a year. If your vehicle is got more years of miles, some of that maintenance would probably be pushed up a little bit. One reason being, as things age, they tend to corrode. If the spark plugs become seized or really stuck in those cylinder heads, you don't want to run the risk of ruining those threads, which could become a much, much more costly repair than just doing spark plugs. So I would say follow the interval as far as mileage goes. I would tell you that my opinion would be that they're assuming that people are driving somewhere between 10 and 15,000 miles a year, or maybe a little bit less. And so if you do the math and you're like, boy, my car is 10 years old, there's only 50,000, 60,000 miles on it, when you look at that schedule, they're assuming that you'd have 100,000 miles. So it's fair to see you can kind of adjust some of that stuff. You know, that maintenance interval is a very good guide, but it isn't always made for every driver or every situation. So I would, in that case, maybe consider doing the stuff a little earlier to prevent some sort of problem trying to do those maintenance items.
Yeah, it makes sense. Nick, here's a 2007 Range Rover HSE with 235,000 miles on it. Texter says, I've had to add a small amount of coolant twice in the past couple of months. I don't see any leaks in the garage floor. I did have some radiator hoses replaced back in July where they did a complete flush of the cooling system. Where do you think the coolant is going?
Well, it is possible that there's not a leak and maybe there's a couple small air pockets somewhere in that cooling system. You know, newer vehicles, sometimes bleeding out or getting all the air out of the system is the most typical part of the repair. So I would keep an eye on it. You know, you're saying a small amount, so I wouldn't be super worried about winter driving. If you continue to have to add coolant, you know, every couple of months a little bit, you might want to have it pressure tested. There might be a very minor leak where it's essentially evaporating, but when it does evaporate, oftentimes coolant will leave a bit of a residue to kind of give you a hint at where the leak was. So I wouldn't be too excited in this situation. Keep an eye on it. If it continues, have someone take a peek, but it is quite possible that there was just some air in that cooling system that took a bit of time to work its way out.
Here's a frustrating one. My son has a Honda Passport 2019, and driving along, it dies due to loss of all electronics. He then needs to have his car towed. He's had it in twice. They find nothing.
Yeah, those intermittent problems that we've touched on in the past are the most frustrating. So anyone that has one of those odd situations like this, my best advice would be get a journal, document what you can to give the repair shop or that mechanic technician the best opportunity to duplicate what's happening. If it happens to be a certain drive cycle, temperature, whatever it might be, make notes of that so those folks can try to duplicate it to make it easier for them to diagnose, which will save you money, and, you know, more confident in the repair. You know, it's hard when people have those every so often this happens, and we spend a lot of time driving and testing and trying to find that problem, but there might be a clue that, you know, even the driver or the owner of the vehicle might not be aware of. That's a clue, but make a note of everything that's somewhat relevant so when they have their chance to look at it, they can try to get to the bottom of things.
Maybe we can do one more here before we let you go. 2020 Honda Pilot, their RPMs are sputtering at lower speeds during acceleration. Any guesses there?
If there's a sputter or hesitation, it's quite possible that's a misfire, you know. And once the misfire becomes significant enough, it'll flag the check engine light. So I would pay attention to that. If you're texting, it's a concern. If it continues to be a concern, have someone take a look at it. You don't want to be going around with a misfire. Maybe it's just a slight at this point where it's intermittently there's a plug or a coil or something that's not working properly. You want to get that looked at before it becomes a misfire all the time, or it's a sputter all the time where you can't drive the vehicle. So pay close attention to that. If it continues, have someone get a look at it. If it gets worse, get it in right away.
And maybe one quick one, boy. This would be fun to have. Classic 1957 Chevy Bel Air has not been serviced for some time. Can modern service shops do good work on old vehicles like this? Is there anything I should be concerned about? What do you think, quickly?
Well, quickly, I would say back to word of mouth. The mechanics of an old vehicle or simpler, but to have someone that has the experience in some of those systems is the hard part. So ask around, get the referral, and, you know, make sure you communicate with the shop what you have going and what your concerns are.
Absolutely. Fun vehicle to have, for sure. Nick, we have to run. How do folks get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's if we need help?
Absolutely. Real quickly here, if you ever have a question, need some advice, feel free to give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're ever on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we got the yellow brick building, green awnings, 982 Grand. Swing on and say hi. And I'd really like if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Nick, happy Thanksgiving to you and all your staff, your crew at Lloyd's Automotive. And let's meet again next Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you. To you also, Denny.
Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. By the way, before we hear from Jack Farrell and his wine chat, Mary Meyer will be joining us from the U of M in the 8 o'clock hour for our Smart Garden Show. So get those lawn and garden questions ready for Mary next hour. Here on News Talk A3O WCCO. You know what that means. It means time once again to clear up some problems that you might be having with your car, your truck, your van. Denny Long here with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
Well, our weather's still kind of hanging on for those that maybe didn't get their snow tires on yet or didn't get their vehicle winterized yet. My goodness, going to be a nice weekend this weekend here, at least in the Twin Cities. I want to give our phone number, which is also our text number, and to invite our listeners, Nick, to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a problem you might have, and if you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you want to find out maybe what could be ailing before you walk in that door, before that service rider says, yeah, we'll check it out. Give us a call, send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Nick, in the meantime, while we're waiting for some calls or texts, we got a text. It might have been a couple of weeks ago. It was recently anyway, and I think it was a good question, and we were going to field it on future shows, and that the question is, how do I find, texter says, a good shop to bring my car? I think that's a good question, especially if you're either new to the area, maybe new driver. What would you suggest? I mean, besides coming to Lloyd's, I know you go to Lloyd's, but what would you suggest?
Well, you don't have to come to Lloyd's. There is absolutely a shop, whether it's a particular dealership or independent shop, a franchise that's close to your home that is more than capable to get your car back on the road. I would say, you know, word of mouth, right? I mean, you know, with Lloyd's, obviously we do some marketing as everyone needs to, but I feel our best marketing is taking care of people. And when you take care of people and their vehicles, they'll share with their friends and family the experience that they had. So if you're new to a neighborhood or a community, you know, just to start asking around, you know, whether you have children or in a school or in some sort of a sports or something, you know, just to get to know your neighbors and your colleagues and see where they're going. And, you know, you can look online, you know, obviously everything's online and there's plenty of reviews to read. I mean, even, you know, as far as reviews go, you know, most are good, some are bad. And just this past week with Lloyd's, we had one that wasn't the best review we've had. And that's okay because people don't always have the best experience. Our response is reach out to those folks, try to understand what happened, help them. Understand our process, procedures, whatever it may be. And so in the future, whether or not they continue to be a customer, we've done our part to make sure they understand how we work. And I think if you approach it that way, your business will continue to grow. So ask your neighbors, ask your friends, colleagues, and I think you'll find a good place to get your car fixed.
Yeah, and again, it always goes back to, you know, word of mouth is still the best. But if you're new to the area, but you're right. You go online, you can check out, you could type in, for example, Lloyd's and reviews of Lloyd's Automotive or whatever the company is, whatever the product or service is. Now, you don't necessarily, some of these reviews are not necessarily true, right? I mean, some of them are not so truthful.
Well, I take them, to be honest, kind of personally. You know, when somebody leaves a bad review, I want to understand what did we do wrong, and I take it to heart. And, you know, and like you said, sometimes we have to scour our database to try to find the folks or find the particular situation that, you know, if it's true or not. And, you know, there's some people that are just having a bad day and might leave a review whether it's true or not, and some people have a very good reason or to leave a review. And my approach, to be honest, has always been like, you know, deal with it, you know, approach the folks or call them or come in and say, hey, I had my car in or whatever it is and had a poor experience. And then here's my feedback. And like I said, I take this stuff personally and I want to make sure we resolve the problem. Maybe we can't work together and that's okay too, but I want to make sure we're doing the best that we can.
Yeah. Very good. Good answer. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. And the phone number, as I said, is the same as the text number, 651-461-9226. But don't wait. Nick takes his leave here in just about 30 minutes. I know our time is rather compressed here. So call or text your question as soon as you think of it. We'd be glad to help you out. Speaking of new drivers, here's a text that came in earlier this morning, Nick. How do I winterize my car? Which I think is very timely.
Yeah, it looks like the weather's going to change next week, so it is very timely. You know, like you and I have always talked about the owner's manual. There's a scheduled maintenance, which is a good rule of thumb to follow. You take your vehicle into any shop at this time of the year, and they're going to have a bit of a package that makes sure, like the tires, the battery, the coolant, all the extra touch points are looked at. So as the consumer or the driver, you don't have to worry too much about that, but you go in for a service and say, hey, I'm a new driver. This is a new vehicle. I want to make sure I'm going to be good this winter. And then you leave the pros take care of the rest. They'll be able to kind of go through that checklist and make sure your vehicle is the best that it can be for whatever's coming ahead.
Yeah, now there'll be many folks on the road, hitting the road, and I'm looking at the forecast around these parts, and it looks pretty clear. I don't see any particular, some moisture, small chance of rain, maybe Tuesday, that earlier ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. But it looks pretty good for sailing. So, but still, you should at least, it's probably a little late to get your oil changed, you know, the day before Thanksgiving. But, maintenance is still the key. Even the minor stuff will get you through. I'm looking at the text. We got a bunch of folks calling in, texting in. We're going to take a break here, Nick. Let's do this. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you might have for Nick, let's hear from you. We'll be right back. 34 degrees in the Twin Cities. Stay with us. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Danny Long back with CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a car care question you might have for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have some callers. I want to get to those right away. But for those that maybe need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, give us the info. How do we contact you guys there?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, need some advice, please don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, swing by and say hi, and always check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Some of the nicest people you're ever going to find, and we'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Nick, let's get some callers here on the line. Todd is first up here, calling from Ramsey, I do believe. Todd, good morning. You are on with Nick.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Two questions concerning vehicle gas mileage. I have a Toyota Highlander that has about 95,000 miles on it. It's a six-cylinder, and I'm a guy that likes to check my gas mileage on a regular basis. In fact, the software in the vehicles these days is really helpful with that. But it seems like the gas mileage is getting better, and I don't think my driving style has changed at all. It appears that I'm getting about a mile or two more per gallon the more miles I have on this car. And the second quick question is, why does gas mileage decrease a bit in the wintertime?
Well, the second part is easy. They change the amount of alcohol or ethanol in the fuel in the winter months to kind of, first off, it helps with the moisture. So, you know, we used to add heat, if you're old enough to remember that, to our fuel tank in the winter months, and now they changed the fuel mixture with a little more alcohol, which burns a little bit quicker, so it decreases the mileage a little bit. Also, keep in mind, in the winter months, we tend to start our cars, let them warm up for a while, and that will obviously use more fuel. As far as the first question goes, I don't have a sure answer why your mileage is getting better. It could be the type of fuel that you use or the gas station. you know, I don't have any scientific proof to this, but sometimes a vehicle might run better with a certain brand. Also, maybe it's just like maybe the car was tuned up, maybe tire pressures. You know, there's not a sure answer why, you get this 80,000 miles, why the car gets better miles. They don't have a great explanation for that.
Yeah, but we'll accept that. We'll take it.
And I hope it keeps going too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Todd. Interesting questions. Let's grab another call here. Nelson's calling in from Bethel, I do believe, this morning. Nelson, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I've got a 08 Impala. It's got 270,000 miles on it. When I started up in the morning, now the power steering pump whines and growls. It's full of fluid. I was wondering if the serpentine belt getting worn, or is it oil need to be replaced, or what's your thoughts?
I think your second option would be the best. Changing all that fluid, power steering fluid is one of those items that maybe gets forgotten the most. And that will collect dirt, debris. A lot of times there may be a screen at the base of that reservoir that kind of screens out the fluid. So it might be catching some of that debris, which will restrict the amount of fluid getting through to the pump. So I think, you know, oftentimes people will come and complain about the power steering's whining or howling or making some sort of noise. It could be the pump is wearing out. That's a possibility. But I think my first step would be to change out that fluid, clean out that reservoir, and give it some time to work that fluid through and see if it doesn't get better.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Nelson. Appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm looking at a text, Nick, about maybe you can help me with this. Should you trust oil change percentage? Texter says, I have a Cadillac with a 3.6. I've heard this is notorious for timing going out due to not changing the oil more consistently. So for those cars that do use a percentage, that's what they're talking about, what you see on the dash, right?
Yeah, it's a good guide. The rest of what the texter said is absolutely true. We seem to be doing a lot more timing chain type repair or work. And part of the reasoning is those extended oil change intervals, or people maybe not keeping on top of the oil changes, allows for the oil to break down. The oil lubricates. It also cools some of those components. So if they're not being properly maintained, those timing components will wear. The chain can stretch, which will make the vehicle get out of timing, which will cause an issue with the operation of the vehicle. So as far as the percentage goes, I think it's a good guide. There isn't always a rhyme or reason to it. You know, if it's if you're getting your oil change on a regular basis, they should reset that so it won't come into play. If you're following that as your sole reminder, my opinion is it might go too long. And I like to say on a good synthetic oil, I would go every 5,000 miles. If your vehicle still uses a conventional oil, 3,000-mile interval I think is appropriate. And like I said, you got to keep on top of those oil changes to prevent any big mechanical timing type failure.
Yeah, very good. But we're getting more questions, more texts, more calls. Hey, speaking of calls, let's before we look at the weather, Kelly calling in from West St. Paul this morning. Kelly, good morning. Thanks for calling. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a comment about someone who just called in about reduced fuel mileage in the wintertime. The ethanol content of gasoline does not change in the wintertime. It stays at 10% all 12 months of the year. The reason fuel mileage decreases in the wintertime is three things. The first is the petroleum industry makes the gasoline more volatile for easier starting in cold weather. Therefore, it has less energy, therefore lower fuel mileage. The second thing is, when it's colder, the lubricants and other things in the car create more drag, so it takes more power to move the vehicle, even on dry roads. And the third thing is, in cold weather, at cold startup, it stays in open loop a little bit longer where it's running very rich, so it uses a lot more fuel. And if people are concerned about fuel consumption and the environment, don't start your car and let it run to warm up. Modern cars, you just start it, let it run a few seconds, and take off slowly and let it warm up quicker, and everything will be better, including your fuel consumption.
Getting 33 degrees. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, once again with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got a bunch of text messages. Let's see how many we can answer here. In fact, what I'll do, if we don't get to all of them, I'll save some until next Saturday's show. Here's an interesting one. I think, to me it is, anyway, because I change wiper blades on my vehicles, you know, relatively often, maybe not often enough. But this particular text said, I stopped at my Toyota dealer parts department yesterday to purchase wiper blade refills for my Camry. He or she said, I was surprised that they sell only the entire wiper blade. Do you know where I can find Toyota brand wiper blade refills? Do they sell just refills? I'm not aware of that.
They still do on certain... It's becoming fewer and fewer supermodels. I know Toyota does offer, and like some of the, you know, if your vehicle gets to be aged a bit, it's based on the design of the wiper. Some are designed where you can actually remove that rubber blade, and sometimes there's a little piece of metal that holds it in place. You can oftentimes, or used to be able to buy those, slide out the old, slide in the new. But now, as wipers have changed, a lot more like a beam blade, which is like one composite piece, there is nothing to be replaced other than the entire blade itself. So it used to be able to do it. It's less and less common. I do believe that the newer blades, especially in our climate, are better because when it's one solid piece, there's no nooks and crannies for that ice and snow to build up, which we all know if your wipers are full of ice and snow, only a part of your windshield gets cleared. And then when you're trying to drive down the road, you can't, you're trying to move your head around a little bit to see out the windshield.
And we always advise people, and I should practice what I preach, you know, if your car's outside and it's full of frost or ice, don't use your windshield wipers blades to clean it, right?
100%. You know, when you get a bit of snow and it builds up, if you're using the wipers to clear the windshield, that link into the mechanism that's doing that isn't designed to clear the windshield. It's designed to, you know, keep it clean. So meaning when it's raining or snowing, that on the surface, it's squeegeeing your windshield. If there's a buildup of snow or ice there and you're trying to clear that with the wipers, it's very hard on that. And, you know, every year when we get the first big snowfall, people will come in that day or the following day with the concern that, hey, my wipers aren't working or they're out of sequence or one's not moving. That's because that mechanism has been damaged from all that extra load.
Absolutely. Texter says this, Nick, a 2012 Passat question. Power door lock, driver's side problem. Front door will lock with a key fob, but will not unlock most of the time. Also, the rear door lock keeps clicking, trying to lock the door after driving a few miles. Put new battery in the fob. Have to unlock manually with the key. Comments, please.
So the problem's not likely with the fob itself. It's within the door. There is a little actuator, a little motor inside each door that locks and unlocks that particular door. If you're hearing that multiple clicking, it's because it's searching or trying to disengage or engage that lock, and it's struggling to do that, so you hear that pulsating noise. I would tell this texter, it's good that you have the key and you're operating that cylinder, but at some point you don't want to run the risk of the doors not unlocking or locking at all. So I would take that in, have someone assess it. You know, maybe you do. Maybe it needs both actuators, but I would at least have it looked at before you, you know, just keep going down this road because at some point you might be stuck.
Okay. Nestor has a 2015 Equinox with just over 59,000 miles on it. It runs fine, but would it be more beneficial to change the plugs on it at this point instead of waiting until 100,000 or whatever recommendation is?
So my opinion would be when they make those intervals, they're assuming some stuff like you're going to drive X number of miles or within a range of miles on the course of a year. If your vehicle is got more years and miles, some of that maintenance should probably be pushed up a little bit. One reason being as things age, they tend to corrode. If the spark plugs are become seized or really stuck in those cylinder heads, you don't want to run the risk of ruining those threads. which could become a much, much more costly repair than just doing spark plugs. So I would say follow the interval as far as mileage goes. I would tell you that my opinion would be that they're assuming that people are driving somewhere between 10 and 15,000 miles a year, or maybe a little bit less. And so if you do the math and you're like, boy, my car is 10 years old, there's only 50,000, 60,000 miles on it. When you look at that schedule, they're assuming that you'd have 100,000 miles. So it's fair to see you can kind of adjust some of that stuff. You know, that maintenance interval is a very good guide, but it isn't always made for every driver or every situation. So I would, in that case, maybe consider doing this stuff a little earlier to prevent some sort of problem trying to do those maintenance items.
Yeah, makes sense. Nick, here's a 2007 Range Rover HSE with 235,000 miles on it. Texter says, I've had to add a small amount of coolant twice in the past couple of months. I don't see any leaks in the garage floor. I did have some radiator hoses replaced back in July where they did a complete flush of the cooling system. Where do you think the coolant is going?
Well, it is possible that there's not a leak and maybe there's a couple small air pockets somewhere in that cooling system. You know, newer vehicles, sometimes bleeding out or getting all the air out of the system is the most typical part of the repair. So I would keep an eye on it. You know, you're saying a small amount, so I wouldn't be super worried about winter driving. If you continue to have to add coolant, you know, every couple of months a little bit, you might want to have it pressure tested. There might be a very minor leak where it's essentially evaporating, but when it does evaporate, oftentimes coolant will leave a bit of a residue to kind of give you a hint at where the leak was. So I wouldn't be too excited in this situation. Keep an eye on it. If it continues, have someone take a peek, but it is quite possible that there was just some air in that cooling system that took a bit of time to work its way out.
Here's a frustrating one. My son has a Honda Passport 2019, and driving along, it dies due to loss of all electronics. He then needs to have his car towed. He's had it in twice. They find nothing.
Yeah, those intermittent problems that we've touched on in the past are the most frustrating. So anyone that has one of those odd situations like this, my best advice would be get a journal, document what you can to give the repair shop or that mechanic technician the best opportunity to duplicate what's happening. If it happens to be a certain drive cycle, temperature, whatever it might be, make notes of that so those folks can try to duplicate it to make it easier for them to diagnose, which will save you money, and, you know, we're more confident in the repair. You know, it's hard when people have those every so often this happens, and we spend a lot of time driving and testing and trying to find that problem. But there might be a clue that, you know, even the driver or the owner of the vehicle might not be aware of that's a clue, but make a note of everything that's somewhat relevant so when they have their chance to look at it, they can try to get to the bottom of things.
Maybe we can do one more here before we let you go. 2020 Honda Pilot, their RPMs are sputtering at lower speeds during acceleration. Any guesses there?
If there's a sputter or hesitation, it's quite possible it's a misfire. You know, and once the misfire becomes significant enough, it'll flag the check engine light. So I would pay attention to that. If you're texting, it's a concern. If it continues to be a concern, have someone take a look at it. You don't want to be going around with a misfire. Maybe it's just a slight at this point where it's intermittently there's a plug or a coil or something that's not working properly. You want to get that looked at before it becomes a misfire all the time or it's a sputter all the time where you can't drive the vehicle. So pay close attention to that. If it continues, have someone get a look at it. If it gets worse, get it in right away.
And maybe one quick one, boy. This would be fun to have. Classic 1957 Chevy Bel Air has not been serviced for some time. Can modern service shops do good work on old vehicles like this? Is there anything I should be concerned about? What do you think, quickly?
Well, quickly, I would say back to word of mouth. The mechanics of an old vehicle are simpler, but to have someone that has the experience in some of those systems is the hard part. So ask around, get the referral, and, you know, make sure you communicate with the shop what you have going and what your concerns are.
Absolutely. Fun vehicle to have, for sure. Nick, we have to run. How do folks get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's if we need help?
Absolutely. Real quickly here, if you ever have a question, need some advice, feel free to give us a call, 651 228-1316. If you're ever on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we got the yellow brick building, green awnings, 982 Grand. Swing on and say hi. And I'd really like if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Nick, happy Thanksgiving to you and all your staff, your crew at Lloyd's Automotive. And let's meet again next Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you. And to you also, Denny.
Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. By the way, before we hear from Jack Farrell and his wine chat, Mary Meyer will be joining us from the U of M in the 8 o'clock hour for our Smart Garden Show. So get those lawn and garden questions ready for Mary next hour. Here on News Talk A3O WCCO.